Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All together. Narayanam Namaskritya Narantaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Yasan Ato Jajai Dhiraya Nasta Prayashu Abdeshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamas Loke Bhakti Bhagavati Naristiki. Before, by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome in the heart is almost completely destroyed. In loving service and the personality of Godhead, whose praise of transcendental songs established is an irrevocable fact. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 6th Canto, Chapter 1, text number 6. Aduneha Mahabhaga Ataiva Narakam Naraha Nanogra Tanam Nayat Tan Me Yatam Parasi Ajuneha Mahabhaga Yattaiva Narakam Nara No granantana nayyad Tanme yakyam yaktam parasi. Someone else? And fortunate Sukadeva Goswami. Yata, so that. Eva, Indeed, Narakan, all hellish conditions into which the pious impious are put. All hellish conditions in which the pious are put. Naraha, human beings. Nana, varieties of. Ugra, terrible. Kitanam, conditions of suffering. Na ijat, may not undergo. That, that. May to me. Yaktum, Arasi, please describe. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O greatly fortunate and opulent Sukadeva Goswami, now kindly tell me how human beings may be saved from having to enter hellish conditions in which they suffer terrible pain. Please repeat. O greatly fortunate and opulent Sukadeva Goswami, now kindly tell me how human beings may be saved from having to enter hellish conditions in which they suffer terrible pains. Purport. Is this clear? Can everybody hear it properly? Is it clear? In the 26th chapter of the 5th canto, Sukadeva Goswami has explained that people who commit sinful acts are forced to enter hellish planets and suffer. Now Maharaj Parikshit, being a devotee, is concerned how this can be stopped. Vaishnava is para dukkha dukhi. In other words, he has no personal problems, troubles, but he's very unhappy to see others in trouble. Prahlada Maharaj said, my Lord, I have no personal problems, for I have learned how to glorify your transcendental qualities, thus entered a trance of ecstasy. I do not have a problem. However, I'm simply thinking of these rascals and fools who are busy with Maya Sukaya, temporary happiness, without knowledge of devotional service unto you. This is the problem faced by a Vaishnava. Because a Vaishnava fully takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he personally has no problems. Because he's compassionate toward the fallen conditioned souls, he's always thinking of plans to save them from hellish life in this body and the next. Maharaj Pichu therefore anxiously wanted to know from Sukadeva Goswami how humanity can be saved from gliding down to hell. Sukadeva Goswami has already explained how people enter hellish life. He can also explain how they can be saved from it. Intelligent men must take advantage of these instructions. Fortunately, however, the entire world is lacking Krishna consciousness, and therefore people are suffering from the grossest ignorance and do not even believe in a life after this one. To convince them of their next life is very difficult because they become almost mad in their pursuit of material enjoyment. Nevertheless, our duty, the duty of sane men, is to save them. Maharaj Pichi is the representative of one who can save them. Omarina Jirandisha, Jirandana Sakaya, Saksuva Mintam Zunata, Meishi Gurvinama, Sri Chaitanya Manobi Stam Stapitam Yena Bhutale, Sayamupaga Namanam Danti Sakamantikam. Namam Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamani, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gurvani Vishani, Namaste Shunyavari Paskachadi Siddharani. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasudeva Goa Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation once again. O greatly fortunate and opulent Sukadeva Goswami, now kindly tell me how human beings may be saved from having to enter hellish conditions which they suffer terrible pains. So Srila Prabhupada was printing the Bhakti Godhead magazine and distributing them. He was doing all the work himself, trying to spread Krishna consciousness. Then one of his friends told him that better than print magazines, better to publish books, because books are more tangible and more people, when people receive books, they don't throw them away, generally. People, if they take a book to their home, they put it in their bookshelf, even if they don't read it. So Srila Prabhupada took that as his life's mission to translate and write purports for the Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, he translated the Bhagavatam up to the 10th canto, 13th chapter. But Srila Prabhupada received the copy. Every time they finished printing one book, they would show him a copy. And when he received the copy of the 5th canto, looked at the pictures, he was very pleased to see how they did such a nice job. And showing pictures of how people have to suffer in hellish planets. So Prabhupada lectured on this verse, 616, two times, once in Hawaii and USA, and once in Mailor, South India, in a Pandal program. And here it says, Sukadeva Goswami, his address is Mahabhagava, really opulent and fortunate. So Prabhupada also explained how there are two kinds of Bhagavat. There's the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat. So any book which describes the name, form, qualities, pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is considered book Bhagavat. And then any person who is elevated can understand Srimad Bhagavatam and preach Krishna consciousness is called in-person Bhagavan. So sometimes Lord Shiva or Narada Muni addresses Bhagavan. Well, we know Saksad Ritran Yasamasa Shastra Tatsatava Yata Devasabi Kintu Prabhuya Priya Vitasha Vandegaroshi Charanara Vindam. So the spiritual master, he's worshipped this on an equal level with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he's not to never think that anyone can become Krishna. Krishna is still Bhagavan Swayam. No one's equal to or greater than Krishna, but he's the servant of Krishna. So the spiritual master is the servant of God, worshiper of God, and Krishna is the worshipable God. So Sukadeva Goswami, we know from his birth, he was a liberated soul. And because he was liberated soul, he didn't want to come out of the womb. So he stayed in the womb for 12 years by his mystic power. Then Krishna came to Dwarka and told Sukadeva Goswami, you can come out of the womb, you will not be contaminated by material nature. So he came out of the womb and he immediately grew up and left home. And when he left home, he was walking. His father was following him, wanted to bring him back. Vyasadeva was his father, the literate who compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. So Sukadeva Goswami happened to walk by some ladies who were bathing with no clothes on. And when Sukadeva Goswami walked by, they didn't do anything because they could understand that he did not make distinction between male and female. that he was on the transcendental platform. But when Vyasadeva came by, because he was a householder at that time, they immediately covered themselves. So the proper etiquette that everyone should cover themselves, that's the this human form of life. Because then Prabhupada said that the human form of life was a life of responsibility. So if one takes human form, then we're responsible for our activities. The animals are not responsible for their activities. So the first Sukadeva Goswami, or Maharaj Pariksit, he was also a great liberated devotee. When he was hunting in the forest, he came to the hermitage of one sage who was in trance, meditating. So he didn't receive him. So Maharaj Ambarish Maharaj Pariksit felt offended. So he picked up a dead snake and put it around the neck of that sage. And then he left that place. So when the son of the sage saw what had happened, he was a 12-year-old boy, but he had Brahma Tejas, he had power. So he cursed Maharaj Pariksit to die in 7 days. Although his offense was minor, it wasn't painful or it wasn't destructive. Maharaj Pariksit also was lamenting that he shouldn't have done that, but it wasn't a big offense that someone should be killed for. Anyway, Maharaj Pariksit then heard that he had 7 days to live. So, being a great devotee of the Lord, he completely renounced his kingdom, his family, his animal, everything he owned. He went to the bank of the Yamuna, Ganges, to sit down for 7 days and wait for that. Whatever it was going to kill him, a snake bird. It was supposed to kill him in 7 days. So Maharaj Pariksit, he could have counteracted the curse very easily, but the devotees of the Lord, they see everything as Krishna's mercy. And they see if Krishna wants me to be cursed to die, then let it be that way. So he didn't try to counteract the curse. Even King Tritiketu was cursed by Mother Parvati to become a demon. He also accepted the curse. He said, thank you very much, and didn't try to counteract the curse. So this is the example of great devotees that always see everything as Krishna's hand, Krishna's mercy. So one king was out hunting and in the forest, and he got his thumb cut off. So as he went back to his minister and said, I got my thumb cut off. What do you say about that? He said, well, that's Krishna's mercy. And then the king became angry. He said, oh, you're nonsense. And threw him in jail. Then the king went out hunting again. And this time, he was caught by a group of dacoits. And they wanted to sacrifice him to cut his cowl. So when they were about to sacrifice in the Kali, they noticed he had one limb missing. So you can't sacrifice someone that doesn't have a perfect body. So they let him go. Then he went back to his minister and brought him back from jail. And then he said, yes, I agree. Now I can see this was Krishna's mercy. But I put you in jail. How's that Krishna's mercy? He said, because if I wasn't in jail, I would have gone with you hunting, and they would have killed me instead of you. So this is a division of pure devotee. So here it says that Vaishnava is parduka-duki. In other words, he has no personal troubles, but he's unhappy to see the trouble of others. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lal Maharaj in the seventh canto. Lal Maharaj is saying, in this way, Lal Maharaj says, Lord Nrisimhadev, O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence, but wherever I stay, I'm fully absorbed in thought of your glories and activities. My concern is only for fools and rascals, or making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, society, and country. I'm simply concerned with love for them. My dear Lord Nrisimhadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or mountain or forest to meditate and bow to silence. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter in lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. Sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. Grihamedis, so-called grihastras, who have no spiritual knowledge, think this itching is the greatest platform of happiness, although that actually is a source of distress. The Kripanas, the fools, who are just like the opposite of the Brahmanas, are not satisfied with repeated sense enjoyment. Those who are dhira, however, who are sober, who are tolerant, tolerate this itching, are not subject to the suffering of fools and rascals. So this is the position of a devotee. A devotee has compassion for all the fallen conditioned souls. So Maharaj Parikshit is asking how to counteract the effects of going to hell, simple activities. First, Maharaj Sukadeva Goswami describes the Dharma Shastra, the Maharaj Samhita. There's 80 of them. But these are, these describe how to atone for sinful activities. And Maharaj Samhita, the law book of mankind, so it describes the different laws and sinful activities one should not perform. And also in the Mahabharata, it's also sinful activities are described. What is sinful and what's not sinful. So a few of them are, if you make a vrat, you say, I'm going to follow Chatur Masya. For 4 months I'm only going to eat Havishan, which means rice and dal with no spice, once a day. So if you make a vrat like that, one devotee, every year he said, I'm going to follow Chatur Masya. Then 3 days later, I see him in the restaurant eating something, pasta or something. They say, what about your vrat? So it's too hard, I can't follow it. So Mahabharata says, this is sinful. If you make a vrat and you can't do it, then it's sinful. So if one makes the vrat for Chatur Masya or Kartik Mas, then should figure out what they can do easily, which is not injurious to the health, which is not hamper one from continuing with devotional service. But to break a vrat, that's considered sinful. Also to kill a tree, that's considered sinful. If you kill a tree, it says you have to make a public announcement that I've killed a tree and fast for 3 days. This is atonement for killing a tree. So there's many other things that are described in Mahabharata and in other shastras, different kinds of atonement. We know that Maharaj Parikshit, or Maharaj Yudhisthira, After the bell, Kulchetra, he performed the Ashwamedha sacrifice, horse sacrifice. Before the battle, Kulchetra, he performed the Rajasuya sacrifice. And after the battle, he performed the Ashwamedha sacrifice, a horse sacrifice. And this is also meant to purify one, free one from sinful activities. But Maharaj Yudhisthira was thinking himself responsible for killing 640 million people in the battle of Kurukshetra, just so he could become king. And many people tried to pacify him and tell him that that wasn't his doing. But still, he couldn't be pacified until he heard from Bhishma Dev the discussion between Maharaj Yudhisthira and Bhishma Dev in the first canto. Then he was pacified. So kings would go to the forest and hunt the animals. And in the story of King Muchukunda was a saintly king, and he was very powerful. So the demigods employed him to help fight against the demons. There's always a battle going on between the demigods and the demons. So Muchukunda was fighting for a very long time, and he was tired. So the demigods said, well, now you've fought for so long, we'll give you any benediction you want. So he said, okay, you give me the benediction, that I can sleep as long as I want, and if anyone disturbs me, that I can burn them. When I open my eyes, I'll burn them to ashes. So King Muchukunda was sleeping in the cave. And at that time, Mathura was being sieged by the army of Jarasandha. Jarasandha had attacked Mathura 17 times. Each time he was defeated by Krishna and Krishna's armies. And each time he'd go back to his kingdom, and his advisors said it was just bad luck. He didn't do anything wrong. Don't worry. So Jarasandha was attacking for this 18th time, and the other side, another demon, Kalyavana, was also attacking. So Krishna didn't want to cause the residents of Mathura to be put in distress, so he decided not to fight. So this is one of the opulences of Krishna. It's called Rancher, renunciate. So Krishna walked off the battlefield, and this demon, Kalyavana, followed him and was running after him as fast as he could, but he couldn't catch Krishna, because if you're sinful, you can't. Krishna says, Bhakti Mama Janati, only by pure devotional service can I be understood. So he wasn't able to catch Krishna. So this Kalyavana, he saw Krishna run into a cave, and he followed him, and he went into the cave. He saw a man sleeping, and that man, he thought it was Krishna. So he kicked him. And the man woke up, and when he opened his eyes, he burned this demon. It was King Muchukunda. He burned the demon to death. So at the end of the story, Krishna told King Muchukunda that you're a king, and you hunt in the forest, which is one of the activities of kings. They can go and hunt animals and to practice their martial arts and to maintain peace in the forest. But he said, you're not free from your sinful activities. Even if one does that as a kshatriya duty, he still has to suffer reaction. So, but he told King Muchukunda, in your next life, you'll be born as a Vaishnava Brahmana, and then you'll become a pure devotee and go back home, back to Godhead. So, even the people may perform all kinds of different activities, sinful activities, they may atone for them, but Maharaj Parikshit wasn't satisfied to hear this answer from Sukadeva Goswami. The Karmakanda and Gyanakanda sections of the Vedas deal with how to atone for sinful activities. He said this was like the baiting of an elephant. We have in Mayapur, we have a big elephant. You can go there and see, but not now. It's rainy season. when in the dry season, when they bathe the elephant, as soon as it comes out of the water, it puts dust all over its body. So this is Maharaj Kripishti considered this kind of atonement in the Catholic Church. People go and confess their sins once a week. But the priest doesn't tell them that you should stop sinning. So they atone, they confess their sins, but they keep on sinning. So what is the use? Like the bathing the elephant. Takes a nice bath, he's very clean. When he, as soon as he comes out of the water, he throws dust all over himself. So, here it says, the fools and rascals, Blamar says, I'm simply thinking fools and rascals are busy with Maya Sukaya, temporary happiness without knowledge of devotional service unto you. So, Sukha Dukkha, this is the trick of temporary happiness, Sukha Dukkha, happiness. They've made so many arrangements, modern technology, to be happy in this world. Like they made so many motor cars. So the dog is running on four legs, the man is running on four wheels. What is the difference? Because they made the motor car, now there's so many other problems. Air pollution and so many accidents, so many people die in car accidents. So to enjoy life in one way, they have this causing suffering in so many other ways. So they have a reaction, people an opposite reaction. So everything they do to try to make people happy, they have an opposite reaction. That's called Maya Sukaya. So the Vaishnava is compassionate for the living entities. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Bhar Bhumita Hoya Minushit Jama Yara Jama Sartha Kakara Paro Upakara. It says that those, especially born in India, should make their life successful and Paro Upakara, do good to others. In other words, preach all over the world. And because Srila Prabhupada was ordered by his Guru Maharaj to preach in the English-speaking worlds, he took this as his life and soul. He took this instruction as his life and soul. And out of compassion, he went to America and struggled for a long time to establish Krishna consciousness. When he got to America, he could see people were basically in the mode of passion and ignorance. And to make them into devotees would be a very difficult job. So somehow, after struggling for 1 year in New York, he established a center on 2nd Avenue, and people started coming. He would go to the Thompson Square Park and do kirtan for 3 hours every day. And in this way, he attracted some followers and began his International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So when they wanted to incorporate the society, the lawyer said, well, you should call it the International Society for God Consciousness. The Prabhupada said, no, that's too vague. I want people to know that this international group is Krishna Consciousness. Because Krishna is too Bhagavan Sayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he wanted people to know that this is the Hare Krishna movement and we're the devotees of Krishna. So anybody that's wearing neck beads, sika, and tilak, dhoti and kurta, if anyone sees that person, they'll know he's the devotee of Krishna. Because it says, yam yam vapi smarampam, whatever you remember at the time of death, that will be obtained. So if you're thinking of Krishna, and Krishna's devotee is the time of death, then you will not have to take birth again in this material world. Jama karma chame devyam, evam yoviti tapataha, chakrao devyam punarjama, haitime isu Arjuna. So Krishna says to Arjuna, Anyone who knows my transcendental activities does not have to take birth again in this material world. So the devotees are the only ones in this material world who don't have to suffer a reaction and go to hell. Even the Christians say if you don't accept Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. But most people don't know what hell means. There was one priest, he was in Scotland, he went to the coal miners. He said, if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to hell. They said, oh, Jesus, what's his number? Is he one of the workers here? No, no. He explained to him who Jesus was. So what's hell? They said, well, hell's very dark and cold and damp. And they were working in a coal mine, the same condition. So they said, well, we don't mind going to hell. They say, we're already going to hell. We're already working in hell's condition. But then he said, there's no newspaper. And so, oh, we don't want to go to hell. So, Christians say that you go to hell if you don't accept Jesus Christ. But they are also, Christians themselves are also going to hell because they don't follow the instructions of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave the Ten Commandments. The first commandment is, thou shalt not kill. And Prabhupada talked to Cardinal Dialu in France, this big cardinal. He stressed the point that one should not kill animals, eat animals. But the cardinal was giving so many arguments why we should eat animals. And then Prabhupada said, well, at least you shouldn't kill a cow. You can eat the lower animals. Because the cow is like your mother. And he still couldn't understand that. But so this is the so-called religious leaders in this world. They don't know what's right and what's wrong. And he thought, he's probably said, if you're sinful, how can you love God? So the cardinal is supposed to be a religious man, supposed to be teaching people how to love God, but they're sinful. So the Christians are sinful. They're saying you go to hell if you don't accept Jesus, but if they're sinful, they're also going to go to hell. So it doesn't save anyone just to say you're going to hell. But for the devotees, there's so many verses in the Bhagavad Gita, second canto, Nivikaranya Shosti, Paryayavayana Vijite, Sapamapi Asya Dharmasya, Traite Mahobaya. In this endeavor, there's no loss or diminution. A little advancement on this path can save one from the most dangerous type of fear. So, what is the most dangerous type of fear? That is to go back into a lower species of life, animal species. And to do that, you go to hell, and when you're in hell, they train you up to accept the body, like they feed you stool until you begin to like it. And then when you begin to like it, then they give you a hog body. As we see in Vrindavan, the dogs are hogs, they eat stool, and they like it. But human beings, as human beings, we don't like it. It's abominable. But for the hogs, if they enjoy it, the Prabhupada says it gives them strength so they can have sex life as much as they like. So there's all kinds of different forms of life, animal life, which is much better than human life for sense gratification. The Prabhupada said the pigeons, they can have sex life 300 times a day. The monkeys can have sex life as much as they want. It's not like that for human beings. The vultures, the hawks, they can see 8 miles down. And what they're looking for, a dead body. But human beings can't do that. So animals have better facility for sense gratification. But only the human form of life is a life of responsibility. Tato brahmaji jignasa. In human form of life, once you inquire into the absolute truth, inquire why I've come into this material world, why I'm suffering. Everyone in the material world is suffering. Dukkhayalam ashashvatam. From the highest planet down to the lowest, all places of suffering with repeated birth and death take place. So birth is suffering, growing up is suffering, getting old is suffering, and dying is suffering. Everything in the material world is suffering. And in between the suffering, there may be a few moments of happiness. They think sex life is the greatest happiness. But how long does it last? It only lasts a few moments, and then they're not satisfied and they have to keep doing it over and over again. The Palamas calls this chewing the chew. So the intelligent people, they're never satisfied, no matter how much sex life they have, how much money they have. They're always anxiety. Prabhupada wrote in the Krishna book, everybody in the material world is morose. Even the jnanis and the yogis are morose, are unhappy, because they have material desires which are unfulfilled. The karmis want sense gratification, the jnanis want to merge into the Brahmana foldings, and the yogis want mystic perfection. So all these things do not bring one peace or happiness. But if one performs devotional service, then one can become peaceful and happy. So what is Bhagavad Gita says, Mam chayo vijayarchena bhakti yogena sevate saguna samitam santichaitam brahma bhuvaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of nature and comes to the level of Brahman. So that means a devotee is above the three modes, passion, ignorance, tamagun, rajagun, and sattvagun. Our ignorance, passion, goodness. And when you're in the pure goodness, then you're no longer subject to the laws of material nature, and in all circumstances will not become victimized by the material energy. But even if one is victimized by the material energy, Krishna says that once apichit sudurakcharo vajite mam aniyai bhak sadur eva sa matya yaha samyag yasito hi saha. Even if one commits the most abominable activities, if he engages in devotional service, he's considered saintly, because he is properly situated in his determination. The Krishna told Arjuna, declare it boldly, my devotees never perish. So due the stringent laws of material nature, a devotee may accidentally commit some abominable activity or sinful activity. But in the nectar devotion says the only price chikja, or retaliatory process, is one continues with its devotional service, continues to chant and repent. This does not mean that one commits sinful activities and then continues with the same sinful activities and Krishna will excuse him. No, an accident, if it's accidental, then we know the 10 offenses of the holy name. Even for a devotee, we're still responsible, have a responsibility to live a pure life and not commit offenses. And the 7th offense of the holy name is to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. Which one should not develop this mentality and think that I can do all kinds of nonsense and I'll chant the holy name and counteract my sins. Sometimes people live in Vrindavan, like Gurukul boys. They live in Vrindavan, perform simple activities and think they're not responsible. It's okay, but it's not. So whether one lives in Vrindavan or wherever we live, one should be very cautious to abide by the rules and regulations. And this means no meeting, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. And also there's 64 items mentioned in the nectar devotion, angas of devotional service which one should follow. at least these four principles. If one engages in illicit sex, then cleanliness is destroyed. If one engages in meat eating, mercy is destroyed. If one engages in gambling, then truthfulness is destroyed. What was the last one? Intoxication. If one takes intoxication, then austerity is destroyed. So you can't perform devotional service if you don't follow the four regular principles. So at the time of initiation, the devotee makes the vow, chants 16 rounds, Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and to follow the four regular principles, no meeting, no gambling, no intoxicating, no illicit sex. This way, he doesn't incur new karma. He's not creating more karma. Where atonement, by atonement and by sinning and atoning, one doesn't get free from his karma. He still continues to sin. So an intelligent man will hear the law that if you steal, then it's wrong, you shouldn't do it. Less intelligent man, he sees someone stealing and getting arrested, and he doesn't do it. But a foolish rascal man who gets arrested and thrown in jail and the thief, even though he goes to jail, he comes out of jail, he continues to steal. So the devotees, we know, when we take initiation, we make a vow, and that vow is not for a short period of time. Sometimes the relatives, friends and relatives, don't like the fact that someone has become a devotee. They think it's a disgrace to their family, and they think it's just some temporary arrangement. He's just trying something new. He tried everything else. Now he's trying something else. But the devotee makes a promise in front of the spiritual master.